passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome you to the second hour. Vic is up next. Hello, Vic. Hey, Vic. Okay, we'll try this again. Ready, Randy? We welcome you back to the program. Vic is next. Vic, do we have any proof of life on Vic or not? We tried. It's Christmas. Chris is calling next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, this is Chris. I'm from Hamilton. I've been with you a long time, you know, ever since Change the Center Point and all. Your show's boring, very boring today. Matter of fact, I was in the back room with my little dog, and it nearly put me to sleep.
Well, Chris, let's
I don't want to get you in trouble or anything with the big bosses.
Don't let anybody hear that. Chris, do me a favor, because we cannot afford to disappoint the paying customers.
I mean, Paul, you know, a good shouting match you and Shane used to have, you know, all this stuff. It's you know, you don't do any of that stuff anymore. I don't know.
Okay, well, hold on, stop. This is important to us. Randy, pay attention. Put the bourbon down. So essentially you're saying that the show, which is an hour and 2 minutes old, is boring. Now, do I hear any disagreement? So what do you think we could do to make this show better? Like maybe more entertaining callers?
Yeah, you need them, you know, get like with Phyllis, you know, you and her used to getting a good shout match, you know, and everything, and it was real funny.
It is a fact that probably our three of our best callers of all time have passed away.
Well, find some more.
Well,
find some more like them. Put the word out.
Chris, is there any chance, since you're on the line, you could maybe save the show?
Make the show?
Yeah, like make it better.
What? Maybe have some, like I said, maybe you can get some more interesting callers or something like. I mean, your callers are great. I mean, they're all real nice folks, but you know, it's just. You know, okay, who's going to win so-and-so, you know, this coming Saturday
okay,
night?
Okay, Chris, listen, I want to put you on the spot for a second because I think you're right, by the way. We want you
to... I worked in radio for nearly 5 years.
Yeah, so Chris, give us a roadmap back to the big time. How do we get this show, how do we make this show great again?
Well, you know, pick you out some callers, you know, that's gonna get into a good shout match, and you know, have some topics, you know, that are really off the edge, nearly edge, you know.
Well, but Chris, see, what you're suggesting is fake. This is not the WWE. I mean, this is a real show. That depends on real people like you to get us out of the doldrums when there's no football game to scream
well,
about.
Well, I know. You'd probably be better off if you had the WWE on there with you.
Okay. Well,
there's
some washed-up wrestler who keeps blowing my phone up trying to get on the show, so maybe that is a good idea.
Hey, you know, give it a try. It'll be what you're doing today.
Okay,
Chris,
let me ask you this. Forget the callers, because I think ultimately the cream will rise. But what about from a guest standpoint? If you had to give me two or three or four guests that you think would really be great, who would they be?
Well, I'm a musician, and I'd like for you to do a show, you know, about the Swampers up in Muscle Shoals. I've been in the studio with them before.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, and David Hood, he's the only one left living. Roger Hawkins, drummer, he died.
Right.
And Barry Beckett,
these are the guys that used to play at Fame, is that right?
Yes, Yes,
yeah, sure.
They were at Fame, and Rick Hall would not pay them anything, but
right.
just the regular scale. So Jerry Wexler, he's the vice president of the
Oh, no, I know who Jerry Wexler is.
He told Rick Hall to take it and shove it, and he got an old building over in Sheffield where Muscle Shoals Sound is, the Swampers.
Right.
And it was they stored caskets in it, and they put – Jerry Wexler put the bill on it. He's
now, is help me with this. Are the Swampers the group that's featured on Sweet Home Alabama when they talk about
– Yeah. Roger Hawkins on drums, David Hood on bass, Barry Beckett on keyboard, and David Hood on bass.
Hey, you probably know I'm a pretty big music fan. We've had some musicians. We've had a couple of entertainers on here before. Nobody important. Darius Rucker, Kenny Chesney, people like that. But we could.
I think Kenny Chesney did some recording in Muscle Shoals too.
Right. I have been at one of the studios in Muscle Shoals. I spent the day up there years ago, and I'm not going to repeat the story. But
which studio was?
I'm trying to remember. I was up there with a guy named Walt Aldridge.
I've met him before. He's not a close friend of mine, but he's very very well known around.
Well, I'll tell you the backstory. I was at about 11 or 12 years ago. I went up to play in a golf tournament for Randy Owen. The golf tournament after the golf tournament, it was up at the hotel at the Marriott in Muscle Shoals. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Okay,
right.
so it was one of the coolest things I've ever done. But Randy has all the songwriters sing their songs.
Right.
not the entertainer who sung them
right.
over the record, but you know what I'm talking about. And
I met
Walt there. Randy entertained a little bit, but I mean, I was like, it was one of the most riveting 3 hours. And all of a sudden, some guy up there you've never seen before is doing like a number one hit from the 60s or 70s, and you're going, I know that song. And then the guy obviously wrote it. It was very, so we started talking. So he came down and spent the day at one of our, at our show. And then he invited me up there. He wanted to show me how you write a song. And it blew me away.
It is. Yeah. I have written some, I write Christian music right now, but Rick Hall, you know, he was calling all the shots at Fame Studio, and he was just paying the Swampers just regular scale
yeah.
pay, you know, like $45 an hour, and they were playing all these number one hits for Aretha Franklin and
yeah.
And
well, I mean, wasn't that the documentary Muscle Shoals that came out a couple of years ago?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen it like two or
yeah,
three
no,
times.
I mean, a lot of people wouldn't think of it, but I mean, this has one of the richest musical traditions histories of any. I mean, the Stones have been there. Everybody has been there.
Yeah, I remember when the Stones came, they liked it because they could go in and out and nobody didn't care who they were.
No.
That's what Mick Jagger said. He said, nobody cares about the Rolling Stones around here, you know.
Not in
except
Alabama.
The guys, and they just,
although I've seen the Stones three times in Alabama at Legion
yeah,
Field.
They,
so there were, I don't know, about 80,000 people that cared that day. But hey, anyway, Chris, I tell you what you've done. You have entertained me during this phone call, so I consider this a step in the right direction.
You've entertained me a lot, Paul.
Okay.
You know, and I act like you got some, you know, high energy going. You know, get some of these some callers calling in,
okay.
and maybe stuff
will,
like
I'll
that. You've
that
got good callers. You know,
right.
they're all very nice and polite and everything, but you need a little bit more action.
Okay, gotcha. So I guess if you look at the calendar, you see it's December 11th. Let's bookmark this date. This is when the show officially turns to a bunch of people calling up and saying, the show's not as good as it used to be. We'll be right back for the very average, lackluster Monday edition of the Feinbaum Show after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back here on the show that never gets old. Welcome back. Let's remember there is a football game 3 weeks from today, and it will involve the University of Michigan. This is John U. Bacon, Ward Manuel, and leaders are finalizing Harbaugh's contract, 5 years, $55 million, which will make him the highest paid coach in the Big Ten. Now, I don't know about you. If somebody offered me that deal, I'm grabbing it. So far, Harbaugh has not signed it to the best of my knowledge. John U. Bacon knows Harbaugh a little bit better than we do. John, great to see you. Thank you so much. Since we last talked, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Alabama and Michigan are going to be playing in the Rose Bowl.
I just recently got that one. Thank you for that breaking news, Paul. Always a pleasure.
We try to stick to just the facts here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. So let's talk about Harbaugh before we get to the game. And give us the details. What is happening right now on the big contract?
I'm not sure is the silly answer. Now, about 2 months ago, Paul, I reported based on what I'd heard from Michigan's leaders they were going to sign Harbaugh within 2 or 3 weeks to the contract that made him the highest paid coach in the Big Ten, not the nation. Of course, in the meantime, then sign gate breaks with the NCAA, as you well know. They coached 3 games without Harbaugh, of course, against Penn State, Maryland, and Ohio State. And now, of course, having won the Big Ten title again, those talks have returned. But there are two clauses that are going to, I think, be surprisingly big impediments to that contract. The money is the easy part, $55 million, 5 years, $11 million a year, not a whole lot more than he's making now, basically. The hard part is going to be two clauses. One, no flirting with the NFL. I'm not sure who defines that. And two, a for-cause clause, which many college contracts have, the NFL contracts, as you probably know, don't have. But those aren't a big deal in themselves, except for who defines what is for cause, who defines what is NFL flirting, is that returning a phone call or is that more serious, and who decides. If it's the current athletic director, Ward Manuel, it's not much of a secret anymore, I don't think, that Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh barely speak. So the trust factor there might not be high enough for Harbaugh to accept those terms. We'll see.
So it brings a very pedestrian question. Will he be flirting with NFL owners 4 weeks from tomorrow today when the NFL season is in the crazy season of hiring coaches while the college football season is officially over?
I doubt it. In fact, with the national title on the line, Harbaugh's focus tends to be monomaniacal.
No, John, I mean when the season's over.
Oh, okay. Depends on when the season's over, of course.
Oh, yeah. My question.
Is it Alabama or is it Washington?
Either 3 weeks from today or 4 weeks from today, it will be over.
Right, exactly. I don't know. And it boils down to four things. How about this? One, Michigan-Alabama, probably a toss-up. And then the next game would be a toss-up if Michigan wins the first one. Two, I would say what the NCAA does is a wild card right now. We're in uncharted waters, Paul, as you know. I think only one coach has been prosecuted with this, if you will. the Baylor assistant coach back in 2016. This time it's probably going to be more serious, but the range is anything from a fine to vacating games, and who knows? So that'll be an impact there as well, I think. Then three is how Michigan responds to that, the for cause and so on. And then four is what Harbaugh does. So I got to tell you, 2 months ago, I would have said 90-95% Harbaugh will be back, you know, in the next year, two, three, four, five from now. Now I call it a toss-up. So that's changed dramatically in the last month and a half.
Certainly, Harbaugh's out recruiting like everybody else. He has maybe a little more time to think as he's flying from berg to berg. What do you think would go – I'm just asking you for an opinion because I don't know exactly how intricate you are, but I know you're closer than anybody else. He wanted to go back to the NFL a couple of times. Why wouldn't he want to go back now?
Well, family's happy. He won three Big Ten titles. And, I mean, he turned 60 in a couple of weeks. So your window on the NFL starts to close after a while. His kids are in grade school. So that's a factor there as well. When he flirted with the Minnesota Vikings 2 years ago, almost to the day, it was based in part on this, the burger gate, if you will, and what Michigan was going to do. Now, next time around, it was the Denver Broncos that pursued him last year, a bit different. This year, I still think it matters more what Michigan does than what anything else happens as far as what Jim decides. It's been a great relationship between Harbaugh and the fans and the administration, I would say, but not with the athletic department. And that is the big factor there. So I'll make one bet. 12 months from now, I bet Michigan will have either a new athletic director or a new head football coach, but the odds of them both being there strike me as increasingly low.
And John, I'm sure Ward Manuel has a lot of skills that are important to run an athletic department. However, he's really not very important when you compare him to the head football coach, is he?
Well, we both know that athletic directors, there are a lot of them out there, and there are not too many top 10 coaches who graduate all their players, which right now Harbaugh is. Now, again, the NCAA cloud is an unknown. And it's got to be said, Ward Manuel has won 2 years ago 13 Big Ten titles. I think that was a record for Michigan, about almost half the sports. And again, when Michigan was 2-4 under Harbaugh in 2020 after the COVID year, if Ward wanted to get rid of him, that would be the easy time to do so. I'm not sure if the fans would have objected at that point. So it's some wild cards there. But yes, if I'm the president of the university and I've got that choice, one's a lot harder to find than the other. I'm not saying that the president is going to make that choice or sees it that way. But yes, that would be kind of simple in some ways.
Yeah, and by the way, there's plenty of places where the athletic director is tolerated by the big name football, basketball coach. So this is not unusual. It happens. Let's get to the game, which is certainly more entertaining and enjoyable to talk about. 3 weeks from today, we'll be just counting down the moments before this game. Just from someone like you who is a historian and a best-selling author, just what does it mean to have Michigan and Alabama in the Rose Bowl?
Well, I mean, Alabama has been the program, as you know, the last this century, and this century is no longer young. It's 23 years old. Of course, the SEC has been dominant. I don't think this Alabama team is as dominant as Georgia was 2 years ago, over the last 2 years, or even as Alabama has been under Saban. So I think they're probably more reachable for Michigan than they have been in the past. But that's never happened before. Michigan, Alabama in the Rose Bowl, that's got to get a lot of eyeballs, I'm sure, on January 1st. So that one would be a top game. I think it is about a toss-up. A lot depends on J.J. McCarthy. He will be, I believe, by then completely healthy. He's not been for the last month. They're losing. Michigan is their star center, Zach Zinter, an All-American recently named. Of course, Alabama just reloads. So where are they weak? I don't want to say. The Auburn game got my attention a little bit, that they're beatable by an average team, perhaps. But, man, who wants to bet against Nick Saban? It's not a winning bet as a rule, I'll say that. So I think it'll be a great game, big for ratings. And for Michigan, the biggest game probably already was Ohio State. Because as I said on your show beforehand, if Michigan lost that game, Ohio State would claim the last three. If Michigan wins that game, they're claiming the last three. So that one was one of the biggest Michigan-Ohio State games of all time, especially when next year you add four Pac-12 teams. And, of course, the playoffs expand from four to 12 teams. That was the last winner-take-all Michigan-Ohio State game, just based on the facts.
John, inside the inside the actual game, you mentioned the loss of the center. That was painful to watch for everyone. Mm-hmm. This is not the most dynamic team anyway. How big a blow is that?
I think very, because as you said, this is not a fancy team. They mixed up more last year than this year, it seemed to me. So with Zach Zinter out, Blake Corum up the middle, which is their favorite play by a long shot, as we see on almost every first down, that is going to impact Michigan a great deal. And, I mean, if you talk to the Big Ten coaches who've been down to the SEC, they say the biggest difference between the SEC and the Big Ten that I keep hearing is not only are the defensive linemen, you know, as big as the Big Ten's, they're much quicker. So without your starting center, now you have to move guys this way and that way, and two or three positions now are compromised just to fill that gap. So that might be a bigger problem than people foresee. Still a toss-up, in my opinion. No excuses, of course, for either team. But that's going to be a problem for Michigan against Alabama's great defensive line.
I was on a plane a couple weeks ago. I can't remember which game it was. I think it was Penn State. Might have been Ohio State, but or Maryland. I don't remember. One of the last three games. Following your Twitter feed, and you're very entertaining to watch during during a Michigan game. And there's a lot of frustration with the offensive creativity. Discuss that, and is that a factor against a very elite defense in Alabama?
Great question. I got to say, the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022, when I was remarking on Twitter during games, as you noticed, that, you know, first down is, you're like burning it down, basically. There's first downs up the middle, and either it works or it doesn't. For a couple of years there with that great offensive line that won the Moore Trophy 2 years in a row, you could do it. This year's offensive line is not quite the equal of the last two, which is no insult, perhaps, but you can't just go up the middle every single time on first down, especially the way they could in the years one and two of the Big Ten titles. So, of course, having said that, against Ohio State the last 2 years, or 21-22, at the last minute, they pulled out all kinds of stops and all kinds of trick plays and so on and mixed it up. So maybe they're holding a lot back for Alabama. I don't know, but I can't imagine you're holding back that much your playbook for 13 games just to save it for the 14th game. So look, Nick Saban, if you're just going to go up the middle on first down, Michigan's going to have a very hard time that day.
John, you mentioned the very narrow line, and it really doesn't matter what any of us think, but I am particularly interested in what you think. What do you think about this game?
J.J. McCarthy's got to be healthy, Michigan's quarterback. They got to run him. They got to be able to run him for the reasons you just described. Going up the middle will not simply work against Alabama, I'm sure of it. They got to mix that up. A lot of bloggers and so on are calling for more play action. They probably need more of that. Michigan's going to have three or four, as you say, dynamic plays, not just breaking up the middle for 5 or 10 or 15, but some razzle-dazzle in there to beat Alabama. I think just straight up, I think Alabama probably wins. Just based on how many five stars does Alabama have versus Michigan. Michigan usually has about four and Alabama about 15. So just beating them going up the middle is not going to work. So if I had to bet, man, I'll probably get killed locally. Although the motivation factor for Michigan is extraordinarily high, whereas most Alabama guys have a few rings is my guess. I'll call Michigan by a field goal. Their field goal kicker has been very good, but Michigan will have to play its best game of the season, no exception, and not even close.
Always great to talk to you, John Eubanks, joining us from Michigan. Thank you,
John. Can I still live in my zip code, Paul, with that answer?
That's fine. As we head to the break, I think John picked Alabama, and then he started thinking about his social media feed, and he changed it. Doesn't really matter. The game's 3 weeks off. You can change your mind as many times as you want, although I've already made my declaration. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's happening on Wednesday night. You'll find out your favorite SEC team's schedule for next year. 7 p.m. We'll have it all for you. Stacy is up next. Hello, Stacy.
My guy, Paul Feinbaum. Long as you got people like Todd, that first caller, and as long as you got people like Chris, the show ain't going to never die out. Because they're going to always call and make a fool of themselves.
Correct.
Paul, I want you to say number 19. Can you say that from the Paul? Say number 19.
Number 19.
That's right, baby. That's all we worried about as Alabama fans. Number 19.
Is it that many already? I remember the other day it seemed like it was 12.
Yes, sir. That's all we worried about. So we ain't worried about nothing else. Even when Alabama don't play, you still got people going to call and complain. So we're going to go ahead and take Michigan out. Everybody knows that. Even their head coach know it. And we're finna win this whole thing. We're going to have a rematch against Texas. I said it on this day. Write it down. But, Paul, last thing I want to say before I get out of here. The people at Florida State, at it again, the higher powers, I heard something. I don't know if it's true. But now I hear that they want to leave the ACC again and go to the Big Ten. What'd you think about that, Paul?
You know, I think they should go. I think they would find the Big Ten to be an entertaining place. I think Florida State and Wisconsin in late November, a little bit easier game than going up to Gainesville, wouldn't it?
So State, wasn't they trying
Southern
to come
Cal.
To the SEC at first?
Well, they had a chance to be in the SEC 30 years ago and turned it down. I don't think they're going to get a second chance. You normally don't get a second bite of the SEC apple.
Well, if I were them, I wouldn't even think about the SEC because you come to the SEC, you surely won't win in the SEC. And that's just hands down. But going on to the Big Ten and lose over there and keep on complaining. And as long as Nick Saban is at the tide, baby, we rolling.
Stacy, thank you very much. Ken is in Birmingham. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I am amazed at the things that you get credit and blame for. getting the blame for Michigan being a bunch of cheaters or you know, maybe just one or two cheaters, I don't know. But, you know, you get blamed for calling, you know, telling it like it is. You get credit for, you know, stuff that you get credit for. One of your callers acted like you were on the playoff committee.
Yeah.
And you ousted Florida State. You were personally responsible for that.
By the way, I would have.
You got a, well, now you're going to be in big trouble because you, but
I did,
anyway,
but given the opportunity, I would have tossed them out of there as quickly as this committee did.
Well, I don't blame you because, I mean, they would have wound up getting stomped on, you know, and it, with a third string quarterback, they wouldn't have had a snowball's chance.
No.
And anybody that knows anything about football knows that. And as far as another caller who wants you to go out and just bring in callers and turn this thing into the Jerry Springer show, I would suggest to that caller that with all the streaming stations there are now, that he find a station that has nothing but Jerry Springer, all Springer all the time,
Ken,
to fill his otherwise empty skull.
This is not the Jerry Springer show.
I know it, and
it's
that's
close,
what I like about
not.
It. You're not going to bring up fake. You're not
no,
going to bring
not,
up fake callers.
We do not do a lot of things Jerry Springer did. We don't hit each other over the head with folding chairs.
Yeah, I used to call him Jerry Springer, the furniture flinger.
Right. We talk. And, we don't bring people on who are going through pain and torment in their personal lives. We just bring people on who are going through pain and torment in their college football fandom lives.
It's sad. Some of these people, their theme song ought to be from The Wizard of Oz, "If I Only Had a Brain." I mean, it's just so. I don't see how you put up now. I do miss Phyllis and I miss Tammy.
Sure.
I loved Phyllis cracked me up one day when she said, "Leave Nick Saban the hell alone."
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I just lost it when I heard her say that. But I loved her passion for Alabama. I loved Tammy's passion for Auburn. But you can't come up with you're not. I'm glad you don't go out and find fake callers. I'm glad that everybody who calls you, is real.
You've been in this business a long time, and it doesn't matter whether people like you or not. They want to believe at least it is real.
Yep.
And this show is real.
That's what I like about it. I don't like some of the knuckleheads that call in and yell at you and blame you, give you credit or blame for stuff that, you know, you don't have anything to do with. I guess sometimes your own jingle works against you. And some of the callers that are put in, you know, who call you Coach Paul Feinbaum.
Well, Ken, you've been around long enough. Back in the day, we actually had in the intro, I believe if you go back 20 years, the intro said where coaches are fired. And we took that out because we don't do that. This show, all the people that used to criticize the show, and I used to have people say, you know, why can't you talk about things that are good? I think we do that more than we've ever done it. It doesn't make the show boring. I feel like we're far more balanced than we used to be. And
I agree.
Besides, it's not only a radio show anymore. And radio shows are a little bit more hyperbolic than radio shows that are on television.
Mm-hmm. And I suggest some of these people that if they want to hear, you know, shouting all the time, they listen to Unsportsmanlike because the announcers yell for no particular reason. They just
there are plenty of shows on in the morning that people scream at each other. I know I've been on one or two of them.
Mm-hmm. And they ought to listen to those if they want to hear yelling and screaming.
Well done. Always great to hear from you. Thanks you so very much. Vic, we'll try Vic, who is in Alabama.
Hey, Paul. How are you this evening?
Hey there.
Two things I wanted to mention. The first is I did not get a chance to call you last week or attempt to call, but I wanted to commend you for your restraint, your patience, and your professionalism putting up with that ranting and raving by Mike Greenberg last Monday about the Florida State thing. And people can disagree about Florida State versus Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, whoever you choose. This is the last year that will happen because the hand-wringing about number 13 next year is going to be a lot less than the hand-wringing about number 5 these last number of years. But I know you can't speak ill of your ESPN colleagues, but since I'm a caller, I can do it. Mike Greenberg is a master at ginning up controversies about things that are not big deals, okay? So all that ranting and raving on Monday on the show that you were subjected to listening to, that subject was so important. You know how many times he mentioned that subject again the rest of the week?
Betting never.
Zero. Zero.
Well, Vic, let me give you a little insight into Greenberg. You probably already know most of this, but first of all, he's a close friend of mine. I've worked with him for many, many years, and as difficult as it was for me to be quiet listening to him, I also had remembered some of the things he tweeted during the Alabama game. So here's my theory on Greenberg, if you want to hear it. Had Alabama failed to get in the playoffs, the rant you heard on Florida State would have been 3 times more vitriolic about Alabama not getting in.
So in other words, you can't win.
Well, it's also why Greenberg, in my mind, is one of the great radio television hosts in the medium's history, because he just cares about creating division and controversy and good entertainment much more than he does about his own feelings. Yeah, we know that the Jet stuff might wear you a little bit thin, but he is a master right at it. And I could never
well,
do
and
a
you
lot
know,
of that.
I don't remember him being that bad on the radio when he had his Mike and Mike in the morning
well,
show
because
with Mike Golic.
He was on with somebody who had played the game, so it was a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, so anyway, that's one thing I want to commend you. I thought you came across very well in that exchange, if somebody can call it an exchange. The other thing I wanted to mention.
By the way, this is the new and mellower Paul Feinbaum. A couple of years ago, I would have walked away.
Well, good for you. Actually, I wouldn't have blamed you for that either. The other thing I wanted to mention, totally different subject, is that this is the time of year we get annually, I find very amusing, where we get the criticism, some veiled, some not so veiled, of players opting out of these meaningless bowl games, one of my pet peeves. And the other day, I happened to hear Hugh Freeze, and this is not particularly directed to Hugh Freeze. I mean, it's all of them. You know, he was kind of whining about, well, this is a team, and you got to be with the team, and the team goes to the bowl game, and so forth and so on. But what I find interesting is Troy University in my home state of Alabama, they're going to a bowl game, right? They're going to a pretty good bowl game for them. Their coach has opted out to take a better job at Tulane, or what he thinks is a better job. Then Duke is going to a bowl game, right?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of schools that lost coaches are.
Yeah, and their coach takes off to go to Texas A&M, which is fine and good. But nobody ever talks about the coaches bailing out on these bowl bound teams, you know, like they do with the players. And I just think it's time for people, and I encourage you to do it, to call out these coaches for this hypocrisy. You can't complain about the players wanting to opt out of these meaningless games, and then the coaches are free to jump ship whenever they feel like it. It's really irritating to me.
Vic, I agree, and we're going to talk to Jaden Daniels this week, and that's a question he'll have to answer as many others. And I don't really blame people anymore because it's about you now. And I think just put yourself in his position. Quit thinking about rah-rah for the team, because that's not how it works anymore. Thank you very, very much for the call. We head to the break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Don't forget, tomorrow he will join us, the Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels, right here. We ever had a Heisman winner on this show? I don't think so. Jay is up next.
Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey there.
I got to respond to this fella, Todd. Todd, you need to lay off Paul. Michigan cheated. Most fans think they should be disqualified from the playoffs. But let me tell you, man, you don't call and disrespect the host of the show. That's not how the show works, buddy. Anyway, Paul, I want to congratulate Jaden Daniels and the LSU fans on winning the Heisman. I think he deserved it. I would have voted for him if I'd have had a vote. And, Paul, the other subject I want to talk about, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, Man of the Year. Paul, I don't know if you remember or not, but I asked you to predict Colorado's football record at the beginning of the year, and you said 4-8.
Yeah, and Jay, he is actually the Sportsman of the Year, and we had, I'm sure you heard 40 on earlier. It's a bizarre choice. I think we could all agree on that. I understand why they did it, because you start thinking, I think the better question is who else would you put on there? And there are a lot of great choices for Sportsman of the Year, but probably there's only one Deion Sanders who really for at least 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, had people watching college football that normally would not have watched it.
Paul, you might need to get a side job giving gambling advice.
That's probably not a good idea, because I
would lose you. Have a good day, Paul. Sure.
But I mean, first of all, let's be honest about Sports Illustrated. It's a dying magazine, digital publication. I've worked there before. It's an embarrassment based on all the things you're hearing. So they did it for one reason, to get people to go to their website and click on the story. Now that I've said that, Susie is up next.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey there.
I'm on my way to Nashville, and I always, you know, you always help me get on my trips with your show. My daughter and I leave tomorrow for Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
To see Garth Brooks. It was my Christmas present from last year. She had to get the tickets a year ago. So I know how you like music. Have you ever been to a Garth concert?
In fact, I have. About 30 years ago, I took my wife to a Garth concert, and it was unreal.
Yeah, I've been to several. He is. Of course, this will be a smaller setting, you know, in Vegas. But oh my
That's
God,
some friends
so
in low places of that concert.
Yeah, but
you're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.